cup runneth over, I shall not want. Comes from one of the greatest psalms that David wrote. He's running from Saul, trying to kill him. You know, it's easy to shout hallelujah when the sun is shining. It really is. It's really easy to give God the praise when your table's full, your cupboards are full, the fridge is full. Your children have graduated, they're in university, they got married, have children. It's great, it's easy. To praise God when the sun is shining is a wonderful thing, a good thing. But it's an easy thing. But can you, like Job, praise Him when you've lost everything? Can you sing hallelujah in the middle of a storm like we just sang? Can you lift up your hands when your hands are heavy because the weight is just too much? See, that's what's going to take, my friend. And I believe God is looking for a people that will praise Him, love Him, and serve Him despite what you see or do not see. Because, my friend, that's what's going to get you through it. Through the times that we are in now, God is sifting, shaking, stirring. And those that can praise Him in the midst of this time that we are in, that can look to Him and trust Him when you can't trace Him. Oh. Keep your heads up, my friend. I'm hearing great things. I just heard the Prime Minister of Israel. He's looking forward to seeing the temple rebuilt in 3 years. The temple to be rebuilt in 3 years. And if you're a Bible scholar and if you believe the word and trust the word, you know that that is something very significant. We know that some of the emblems are already built. The candlestick, the menorah is built already. The altar has been built. They're looking for the red heifer even as we speak. The plans are already made. Something's about to happen. And those that can praise Him, lift up your heads, my friend, because your redemption is drawing nigh. Can you give Him praise this morning? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I want to thank you so much. What a praise team we have here. God bless you all. We love you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I want to welcome all of you this morning. Facebook, YouTube, we have an incredible week ahead of us. We are excited. We are going to come back this Thursday on Canada Day. We have a special service. Want to gather up here in the parking lot. A little different, but we're going to gather in the parking lot. There's limited space, and you need to register by tomorrow night, Monday, by 7 p.m. if you want to attend. You can look at our website, and we'll look forward to that. Now, this is all weather permitting. They do forecast the thunderstorms and all that nonsense, you know. But whatever happens, happens. If it is canceled, you need to check the website, and we'll let you know. But at this point, we are ready for Canada Day at 8 p.m. at the parking lot, and we will be having a firework presentation. We want to celebrate Canada Day. We celebrate God's goodness, so you don't want to miss that. Please register by Monday at 7 p.m. Sorry? It opened. No, to register Monday night. The registry opens. Okay, so it opens by Monday. Okay. And then, of course, on Sunday, July 4th, we'll have our first in-person service here at the church. We are excited about that. 10 a.m. here, July 4th, communion service. And so registration opens on our website on Wednesday at 9 a.m. for the service next Sunday, Lord willing. So you need to register by Wednesday, 9 a.m. So I'm going to look to my administrator, my wife. Did I mention it? Did I give all the details? Am I okay? Have I missed anything? You sure? Okay, I'm just checking up, you know, because I always miss a detail or two. Okay, wonderful. Ready to go. Want to welcome everybody. As I mentioned, we're so glad that you're with us. Sunday morning, I've entitled this message, I Thought It Was a Dream. I Thought It Was a Dream. My text is found in Acts chapter 12. Now, I have preached on this text before in the past, but I've never focused on this principle that we're going to be looking at this morning. Never seen this before. And I want to share this, I believe, this insight, this nugget of truth that God has shown me personally that I want to share with you. Acts chapter 12, we begin at verse number 6, right to verse number 11. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, underscore sleeping, please. He was bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So Peter's in prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison. And he shook or smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. The angel said to him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, notice he saith. Now the original is that he spoke to him personally. He spoke to him. He said to Peter personally. And the reason why personally is important, I'll tell you a little bit later. So hold on to your hats. I get some great nuggets here. Said to him personally, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. Follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true. He wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but he thought he saw a vision. And that's why I entitled this message, I Thought It Was a Dream. Peter thought he was dreaming, had a vision. And when he were past the first and second gate, they came to the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which openeth to them of his own accord. And they went out, noticed, and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. I guess it wasn't a dream, Peter. I guess what you saw really took place. Let me say by way of introduction, friends, sometimes God does something that looks or seems like a dream, but it's real. It is real. It is so real. You can touch it, you can feel it, you can smell it, you can see it. But we think it's a dream. We think it's a dream. In our text, Peter is sleeping while he's in prison. Now, you can't go too far without stopping here. How can somebody sleep while he's in prison between two guards? That's pretty intimidating, knowing that the next day you're going to be executed. Now, you just think about that for a moment. That's what I preached on the first time I shared this message. That's not my focus this morning. That's another sermon. Sleeping while you're in prison. I want to tackle something that I believe is a little deeper. Something that I believe is appropriate for the hour in which we live in today. But Peter is between two soldiers. I am going to focus on this for just a moment. These soldiers were on assignment. These soldiers were on assignment to hold Peter in jail, to keep him bound in prison. He is between, so we have between these two men, Peter is in prison sleeping. And the assignment of the soldiers was to make sure that Peter would stay in these chains. Because you never know, Peter might escape. So these soldiers are assigned to him. Why am I focusing on this? Because I believe that the devil has soldiers that are assigned to keep you bound. There is an enemy out there that their sole purpose is to bind you and keep you in prison. They're on assignment, spirits that have been assigned to hold you. You see, the demonic realm is very strategic. Make no mistake about it. We're in a battle. And they want to make sure that Peter is still sleeping in jail. Make sure that Peter won't move. The Bible tells us that we're in a battle against principalities in high places. We don't fight against flesh and blood. The battle isn't necessarily these two men, these henchmen that are there to guard Peter. Yeah, they are there physically, but it's something beyond the physical realm. There's something beyond. Paul said, we wanted to visit you, speaking to the church of the Thessalonians, but Satan hindered us, impeded us. There are demons that are assigned to impede you. There are demons that are assigned to keep you asleep so that you can stay put and do nothing about anything, to keep you quiet. They're on assignment against you. The enemy has assigned certain spiritual imps to keep you bound. So as these two soldiers were assigned to keep Peter bound, so it is in the spirit realm. There's an interesting story of an evangelist. He was on the plane coming to L.A. And it just so happened that he was sitting beside this individual, didn't know him, and just thought it was a little strange just the way he was kind of looking at him. Right beside him in the chair, in the airplane. And they struck a conversation. And the evangelist didn't, as I mentioned, notice him. And this man all of a sudden looked at him with dark, piercing eyes and says, I'm on assignment. True story. So evangelist said, excuse me, you're honest. Yeah, I'm on assignment against you. I said, what? And this man was part of a satanic cult. And the devil led him, the spirit of the Antichrist led him to torment this evangelist and to impede him from going to his destination. And in this case, he met him face to face through this individual. Many times we don't see what goes on in the spirit realm. We don't see a physical person, but something is taking place. There's a strategy behind closed doors in the spirit realm out to impede you, to stop you from going forward, to stop you from going to your mission. I remember when I was working with my mother in 1981, a place called Place Dupuis. I've talked about this many times. And we started to experience a lot of trouble in the store. The dresses and the clothes were being stolen. My mother was losing money. I started getting a little sick physically. My mother was going through some personal issues. Strange things just started happening to us. And it just so happened that one day as I was witnessing, I met this man at the cafe at this restaurant, and I was just talking to him. Found out his name was Jean-Baptiste, this guy, and he seemed to be very, very open to the gospel. And I got really excited, began to share with him more. And the next day, there he was again, and I started talking to him. His demeanor changed, and he says, I want you to look to my left. And I looked at him, I said, I want you to see that man. He says, okay, what's he? And I saw this man with a beard, and he looked really strange, and he said to me, Dino, this man is my high priest. I go, your high priest. And he began to tell me that he's from this satanic group and that Jean-Baptiste was on an assignment to destroy me. Never met him before. Started causing havoc in my store. Started causing all kinds of problems to destroy me. I could not believe what I was hearing. Never had anything like this happen to me before. I just got saved about a year and a half or so. On assignment. He actually used that word. Friends, we're in a battle. We're in a battle. And if God is using you or about to use you, if you have experienced the power of God in your life, you can be sure that you're going to have some kind of spiritual opposition. And sometimes that opposition isn't so aggressive and physical and in your face. Sometimes that opposition just wants to put you asleep. wants to lull you to go to bed, wants to put a sense of malaise, a spirit of no concern. Just sit back and take it easy. Have nothing to worry about. And I know it sounds good, but it's the very opposite of what God wants to do in your life. Peter is asleep. But God wants to get you out of what the enemy wants you to sleep in. That's right. The enemy wants to lull you to go to bed. You see, some people have no conviction about anything. There are people in the church that just go through the motions, but they got no burdens. They don't weep for the lost. They don't care. They don't pray. They don't intercede. They've got no conviction. And they think you're a little strange if they see a bit of fire in you. They think you're a little strange if you go a little distance or if there's a bit of a radical element to you. No, because you see, they don't like it because they're asleep. There's no passion. There's no hunger. Just sit back and take it easy. Just sit back and take it easy. And don't do what Jesus said, occupy until I come. Certainly don't do what Paul said, to redeem the time, for the time is short. Don't be concerned about redeeming any time. Sit back and go to sleep. Relax, just take it easy. And you sound a little spiritual because you might say something, well, you know, God's got everything in control, so I can just sit back and relax. And although that is true, it is far from the truth in what God has called you to do. God has not called you to relax and go to sleep. But that's exactly what the enemy wants you to do, to go to sleep. God wants to wake us up and take us away from something that the enemy has given you. And for some of us, he's given us a nice fluffy feathered pillow. Oh yeah, it's really fluffy. Go to sleep. Don't worry about anything. Don't have to pray about that because the pastor's got it. Don't worry about what's going on because board member Tom will take care of that tomorrow. Don't worry about anything. Everything is in. Go to sleep. Relax. There's nothing to worry about. But God wants to pull you away from what the enemy is trying to lure you. Lure you what? Into a state of mediocrity, into a state of spiritual apathy, into a state of tepidness, a state of insipidness, a state where you just gotta stay put. Don't be too loud. Don't be too outspoken. Go to sleep. Just go to bed. Take it easy. Don't worry about it. You see, my friends, the enemy has chosen certain demons. That's right. Certain demons who are on assignment against you, against me. There's a strategy. But you can be sure that those demons will not be assigned unless you're doing something. The enemy's not interested in you if you're just sleeping and taking it easy to begin with. But he is interested in you. If you're doing something and making a difference, he'll do what he can, not only to impede you, but to give you a pillow and a false sense of security. A false sense of security. He'll give you a pillow. He's an assignment. You see, the devil, he's organized. Just like in the spirit realm with the Lord and his angels and the host of angels, there's an organization, there's a strategy. So it is in the demonic realm. There's also a strategy. The enemy is very sophisticated as well. He's had a strategy for years. And the thing is, that strategy works. It's been working for years. He's organized. He wants you to accept the unacceptable. He wants you to compromise, to coax you into a state of spiritual slumber. He wants to coax you into a state of spiritual slumber. Don't worry about it. Take it easy. Don't be alert about anything else. Everyone will take it. It's going to work out at the end. And I know that sounds good, but that's a false sense of security. security because God's called you to do something. It's called you to rise up. He's called you to make a difference. That's why Paul said, now watch this. This is one of the most powerful scriptures that I found in Romans. George, if you can show me, Romans chapter 13, verse 11 and 12. We see this was happening in the Roman church. They were falling asleep. And Paul says, and that knowing the time that now it is high time to wake up out of your sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believed. Wake up! You've been sleeping in the light. Some of us think because we're saved, that's it. I'm saved. Point final. C'est fini. I can just take it easy. I'm saved. There's nothing. What? It's just begun. It's high time to wake up. Paul's addressing the church of Rome. There were some vibrant Christians there who fell asleep. There were vibrant Christians where the enemy gave them a pillow and told them to go to bed. And they were sleeping. And Paul says, listen, you can't sleep now. Wake up. You know, some of us have been asleep, sleeping, and I hate even sleeping in Delilah's lap. My God, we've been sleeping. We've lost our focus. It's time to rise up. It's time to rise up. And so the enemy is trying to get you to go to sleep in a situation that God is about to get you out of. You may not understand it yet. Peter didn't understand it. He thought he was dreaming. He didn't fully comprehend what was going on when he sees the angel, but God's about to do something. For some of you, the enemy has caused you to think it's over. For some of you, the enemy has caused you to think that life is over, that your situation is too grim, too black, too bleak. There's no way you're going to see any kind of deliverance. It's over. It's over. And God wants to get you out of that situation. The enemy is telling you, you can't do it. There'll never be any change. It's done. The song has ceased. Don't think you can get it back again. The joy is gone. Don't think you can get your joy again. We've hung up our harps on the willow tree. And I can't get my harps anymore. I can't get them. The song is gone. The blessings have ceased. The manna has ceased. It's too late. The enemy's telling you it's too late. So since it's too late, just go back to bed. Go to sleep. It's over. It's over. Just go back to bed. Go to sleep. But God is trying to wake you up. Trying to wake me up. Oh God, is there a Peter out there that needs to wake up? Is there a Peter listening on YouTube or on Facebook that needs to wake up? Will you take your finger off the snooze button? Listen to what God is saying. It's not over. It's not too late. Friends, it's time to rise. For some of you, you've been sleeping too long. The bones have been dry too long. The devil's lied to you. Stay in that grave pit. Nothing's going to happen. Your marriage will never get better. Your children won't get better. You'll always struggle. You'll always have financial woes. Go back to sleep. Stop worrying. There's no change. But friends, that's not true. This is not how you're going to die, my brother. This is not how the chapter of your life ends. The book is not closed yet. There's still more if you can just wake up. If you can just wake up. Wake up from that slumber. Start listening again to what God is really saying. And so while Peter was in this toxic environment of uncertainty, of anxiety, of worry and discomfort, Peter didn't know what was going on, yet there's an angel. How many people don't understand it? And there's an angel standing right in front of them and they still don't see it. You're sleeping! even shook him, and he didn't get it yet. You're sleeping. You're sleeping. You're sleeping. And so Peter is in this state. He's asleep, and the angel came while he was asleep. Watch this now. The angel came while he was asleep. Oh, my friends, I see something. The angel walked into his night. The angel walked into his night. And I don't know, my friend, but get ready for something, because an angel is about to walk into your night. The angel is about to walk into your night. You've been sleeping, but there's a word for you today. The angel is about to walk into your night. Yes, he's getting ready to walk into that dark place in your life, that dark place of uncertainty, that dark place of worry and disbelief and hopelessness. I believe there's something that the angel is going to walk into that place, into that pandemic of doubt and discouragement. And you know, it doesn't matter how many hellhounds the devil sends. It doesn't matter how many hellhounds the devil has assigned against you. God gets ready to deliver you, and God gets ready to do something. It doesn't matter how many hounds are barking and snarling. When God gets ready to secure you and release you, you can be sure something's going to happen. Yes, when God gets ready, all hell, no devil in hell can stop him. That's why David said in Psalm 18, I was drowning. Read it for yourself. But God stretched forth his hand and he rescued me while I was drowning, while I was in prison. God came and set me free. There's no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper, Isaiah said. Notice, no weapon that's formed against you. It doesn't mean there won't be a weapon. It doesn't mean there won't be an attack. But it says that no weapon that's formed. There's a strategy. The enemy wants to form something, to develop something. And sometimes it's not a blatant attack with a knife or a sword. Sometimes it's just a pillow to go to sleep. No, you don't have to pray for the pastor. You don't have to pray for sister so-and-so. You know, everything's okay. God won't hear my prayers anyway. What am I? I'm just, you know, I'm not much. I'm just going to forget about it. You know, Isaiah tells us that the hand of the Lord is not shortened that he cannot save. We don't serve a God who's got short hands. Of course, that's an anthropomorphic term, but what that means is that God's hand is very, very long, and it can stretch very, very far. And there's no place that you can hide, and there's no ocean that's too deep that he cannot come and rescue. No cave too dark. No sin too black. God can rescue. Yes, when God is ready, the angels show up. When God is ready, the angels show up. The angels showed up with Jesus when he was in Gethsemane. At his lowest state, the angels showed up. Oh, Michael, we're ready for you. Where's Gabriel? Gabriel's coming. The angels show up when God is ready. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, Lord, I'm in a pit, oh God, but an angel is coming. Oh, Lord, I've lost everything. My friends, hold on, but an angel is coming. How do I know that? Not only because of this text, but several other texts. In Psalm 34, he gives his angels charge over thee. There's angels that are charged over you, that have an assignment for you. So just as the devil has an assignment against you, God's angels have an assignment for you. Help you, to sustain you. Read Psalm 34, read Psalm 91. Yes, I may be in prison, but an angel showed up. Yeah, 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 yeah. I may be in the hospital bed, all alone, but an angel showed up. I'm depressed and discouraged. But an angel showed up. Oh, if there's somebody on Facebook, I don't know, my friends, there's somebody. Somebody needs to wake up. It's time. Yes, 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 an angel is coming. Yes, your deliverance is coming. So hold on, my friend. Hold on. Pull back the covers. Stop being too comfortable. Get rid of that fluffy pillow. It's time to rise. It's time to rise. Something's about to happen. And so now watch this. In verse number 7, George, watch this. The angel shakes him. Now the Greek word's pretty emphatic. He stirs it. There is a Peter was fast asleep. What the Bible is suggesting here, that the angel shook him profusely. That's what it means. He was sleeping, man. How does somebody sleep like that? You're about to die. He's sleeping. The angel of the Lord came upon him. Light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter. He smote him. Get up! Arise. God isn't finished with you, Peter. You might think it's over, but it's not over, Peter. You might be sleeping for whatever, but it's not over, Peter. There's still something God has called you to do. Get up, get up, get up. Oh, my friends, can you cry out, Lord, shake me. I've been sleeping too long. Some of you need to cry out, Lord, stir me. I've been anesthetized too long. Lord, shake me. I've been playing church too long. Lord, kick me if you need to. Lord, I've been playing it too cool. I've been sleeping. Lord, will you shake me? Will you do what it says in Psalm 65, oh Lord? Cause me. Cause me. Whatever the cause is. Cause me to make my approach unto you, Lord. Cause me to make my... Lord, kick me, shake me, stir me. I need to wake up. The Bible says the angel smote him. Get up! Oh, God. Get up. Get up. Get up from your slumber, Peter. Whatever the situation is, Lord, cause me to get up. Cause me to see things. Whatever it is, Lord, shake me. Yes, Lord, stir me. I need to stop sleeping. Stir me till my faith is renewed. Lord, stir me, shake me, till I wake out of this prison. I get out of this prison. Lord, shake me till I get my fight back. Shake me till I get my fight back. I've lost my fight. COVID has caused me to lose my fight. This pandemic has caused me to lose my passion, my fight. I don't see. Shake me, oh Lord. Shake me till I get my song back. Shake me till I get my joy back. Shake me till I pick up my harp again. Oh my God, stir me up. I need to wake up. Now watch this. This is important. I see a nugget here. Nothing was actually happening until Peter woke up. The angel came, but nothing was really happening because the angel came. Nothing was really happening until Peter wakes up. You see, the presence of the angel didn't stop the problem. God sent an angel, but it didn't necessarily stop what was going on. The angel is stronger than all the guards put together. That wasn't the issue. But the angel did not stop the problem. He did not liberate Peter necessarily. Here's the life lesson. Watch this. The only thing that will liberate you, my friend, is when you and I wake up. You can have angels, you can have everything in front of you, but you can still be sleeping. You can have the greatest message ever preached, and it can do nothing for you. You can see miracle after miracle, and you're still sleeping. It's not the fact that God sent an angel. Yes, that was important, but it's not the issue. Something had to happen inside of Peter. See, friends, That's why Paul prays a prayer that is so powerful. I just want to pause for a moment. It's found in Ephesians 1. George, if you can find it for me, 17 and 18. Now watch this. Paul is praying to the Ephesian church, one of the most powerful churches, by the way. Here's Paul's prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you. So you might not have this. May give you, he's praying, the spirit of wisdom and revelation knowledge of him. Keep going. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. That you may know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of the Lord. That your eyes might open to who you are and to what God is doing in your life. You can be in the church, but you don't see. You can be in the church, but you don't hear. Stressing Christians who are sleeping in the light. We see this in Rome. We see this in the church of Ephesus. It seemed to be a problem at times. You can be so comfortable in your faith in Christianity, comfortable here at Logos with the nice padded pews, that you can be sleeping through every sermon, every worship service, and every altar service, but you're in church. Oh my God, it's high time to wake up. But I want to share a nugget that I'd never saw before. When you go to sleep, going to sleep, you go to sleep in stages. But you also wake up in stages. Stay with me. I'm going to explore this. This is really powerful, I think. It's the insight I want to share with you. Paul is praying that their eyes would be enlightened. They would open up. Lord, open my eyes so that I can see. I've been sleeping too long. I've been doing on Facebook Live a series in the book of Isaiah, one of the most powerful books in the entire Bible. And I saw something, pardon the pun, but I saw something I didn't see before. And it's found in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. And as I'm writing this sermon, this came up to me. I couldn't believe this. This was a while ago. Isaiah 50, verse 4, Isaiah tackles this subject. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. He wakeneth morning by morning. What am I saying? Revelation is progressive. You wake up morning by morning. You don't see everything right away. You don't understand everything right away. You have a bit of revelation one day. The next morning, God gives you another insight. Revelation is progressive. We don't all see things all in one day. In my journey with God, there are things I see today I'd never seen before. This text, I've never seen before. I've been preaching for over 40 years, never saw this. Revelation is progressive. Isaiah tells us morning by morning, morning by morning. Peter is going to wake up, not all in one moment. There were stages. Peter thought he was dreaming. There's an angel right before him. He thinks he's seen a vision or a dream. Who's this? He eventually got it, but there was a period of time. Sometimes it takes time for you to see what God wants you to see. But I want you to see what Peter does in order for him to get to that place of revelation. Peter wakes up, that's important, but he wakes up in stages. The angel wakes Peter up, and the angel said, Peter, make haste. Verse 7. Hurry up, Peter! Stop sleeping! Get up! Redeem the time, Peter! And the moment the angel said that, Peter didn't say anything. He just, hold on a second. What was that? Excuse me? Can you say that again? I'm not really sure what's going on. Can you say that again? Get up! Make haste! And the Bible says the chains fell off. A miracle took place. Oh, well, that's nice. Am I dreaming? The chains just fell off, but he still... So here Peter sees a bona fide miracle, but he's still not sure. How do I know? We're going to come to verse 9 in a few moments. The miracle. The angels speaking, the chains fall off, and Peter still... Oh, that's nice. They were a little too tight to begin with. Okay. And so he just simply follows the angel. Now, the angel... Now, I see another little nugget, another thing that I believe is important here. The angel speaks to Peter. Verse 7, he speaks to Peter loud enough that Peter hears him, but not loud enough that the soldiers hear him. Stay with me. The angel speaks to Peter. Peter is the only one who hears. The soldiers didn't hear what the angel was saying. Interesting, isn't it? Peter heard it, but not the others. You know, friends, I see something here. There are times that God has for you is strictly for you. There are times the word that God has for you, in this case, Peter, make haste, is for you, for nobody else. That's why some people might think you're crazy when you're doing something or experiencing something and you're telling everybody, they think you've lost your mind. Well, you see, stop telling everybody, because what God is doing in this case and in this context is for you, not for other ears. Because the soldiers won't get it. Because board member Alice won't get it. Because Sunday school George won't get it. But it's for you. It's a word for you, for your ears. That's what Isaiah is saying. I've got something for you. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 2, George. He says, that the ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way ye shall go. You will hear, but it's you, nobody else. You will hear something, a voice, the leading, an angel. Some will come for you, and you will, this is what I have for you. Because we serve a personal God. We serve an intimate God. We serve a God who cares about you. When you're in prison, he's got something for you. Because he loves you. He cares for you. Do you remember when Gabriel spoke to Mary? He gave her a word that seemed unconscionable and inconceivable. And what did Mary do? Did she go and tell everybody? They think she's not. She pondered it in her own heart. It was for her. At that moment, it was for her. At that moment, nobody was supposed to know anything. At that moment. Sometimes God has a word for you. For you. Ponder it. Muse over it. God wants to give you something special for you. And so the moment the angel said, make haste, the chains fell off, and immediately Peter gets up, and it seems that he's waking up, and he is waking up, but he thinks it's a dream. Why would Peter keep thinking it's a dream? Because Peter's had many visions before. Do you remember in Acts chapter 10? Remember Acts chapter, any of you Bible scholars remember Acts chapter 10? I'm going to ask some of these people that are here today. Does anybody remember Acts chapter 10, what happened to Peter? Anybody here? Nobody? Didn't Peter get a vision? What did he get a vision of, Elaine? Yeah, all kinds of animals, unclean animals, and Peter, God, what is all this? I'm not gonna eat these unclean animals. And God wanted to give him a word that the Gentiles have now given them access into the kingdom of God. That what you think is unclean, I have made clean. God spoke to Peter, and he's had others. In fact, the Bible says that he was in a trance. So Peter thinks maybe this is another trance, another vision. Oh, Or maybe the other extreme, maybe I'm losing my mind, Lord. Maybe I think this is just, is it a dream like my title says? Is this, am I dreaming? Or is this really you? So you can see the ambiguity. You can, and how many times that happens to us? How many people out there in Facebook, God has done something or speaking to you, and you're saying, well, I don't know, is this my imagination? Is this a dream? Well, it could be, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's really God. But you don't have ears to hear, and your eyes are not open yet to see it. Because you've been walking by sight so long that you've gone to sleep and you haven't been able to discern the difference because you're sleeping. You see, friends, you always wake up in stages. Revelation is progressive. Revelation isn't given all in one sight. God told Jeremiah, I got a word, but I'm not going to tell you till you go to the potter's house. And when Jeremiah went to the potter's house, God gave him the word. The Apostle Paul in Acts 16, George, he wanted to know what he was supposed to do. God's call was upon his life. But and so he's following the angel. He knows God's got to call him. He's following the angel. And he goes to Messia. He goes to Bethania. But he sensed that this wasn't the place. And he's following the angel. He's being led by the Spirit. He's not sure yet. And finally, after Messiah and Troas and Bethania, all these things, he finally realizes, I've got to go to Macedonia. I see a dream. I have a vision. I see it, the angel. I spoke. Shabbatai. The angel has spoken. I see it. I see it. I didn't grasp it. You see, as sleep is progressive and sleep is in stages and waking up is in stages, so it is spiritually. When you fall asleep, you don't get to that state of REM. Is it REM? Until a period of time. For me, it takes 10 hours. Some people get into that, but there's stages. Some of us toss and turn the first hour, I don't know, and then we eventually, there are stages to falling asleep. There are stages also in waking up. Stages. This applies spiritually, my friends. Stay with me. And so as Peter's waking up, the Bible says that Peter follows this angel. He's not sure, but he senses this, okay, I'm gonna follow this angel. But he wasn't sure. Notice verse 9. And he went out, followed him, and wist not that it was true. He didn't really know if this was an angel. But he followed. Don't lose it. There's the key word. Yet he followed. Sometimes you have to follow, yet you don't know. Sometimes you got to go forward. You may not be clear. But something is telling you, don't walk by sight, you walk by faith. Follow. Don't let those circumstances impede you. Don't let the pillow keep you asleep. Just go forward. It's not clear yet. Jeremiah, go to the potter house and I'll speak to you then. Just follow my lead. It's not clear yet, but follow my lead. It's still blurry, but follow my lead. Follow my lead. It's not meant for you to know right now. I'm just testing you. I'm just teaching you something. I'm teaching you to trust me when you can't trace me. I'm teaching you to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm teaching you to stop depending upon your own abilities and your own strength to get you to point A to point B. Just follow that leading, and I'm going to show you. Just follow. He wist not, but he followed. He wist not, but he followed. Oh, my friends, it's time to follow. So look, because in my life I don't always have the answers. You might. I don't, because I'm not sure at times where I'm going, and I'm not embarrassed to say it, and I'm not proud enough to tell you. There are times I just don't know. I didn't know many times what to do in my life. I just followed. When I took my first pastorate in Brantford, I wasn't sure 100%, but I followed. When I came to this church, I wasn't sure 100%, but I followed. And then it was revealed to me, but I followed. I followed. When I got saved in 1979-80 in Hollywood, California, I got saved. The Lord was shutting all these doors for what I wanted to do. And I saw, felt a stirring, go back home. But I wasn't sure, but I followed. When I was going to go to Bible college, I can't stand to study. I never read a book in my life. In high school, I had my friends do my work for me. I didn't want to go to a place to study. But I followed. I followed the leading. I followed the angel. Didn't make sense, but I followed. I followed. I want to talk to someone. I want to speak to someone out there this morning. You're not sure yet. You're not sure what God is doing. You're not sure, but you've been sleeping. You see, you've been sleeping. You've been asleep a little bit too long. You might think it's a dream. You might think it's some vision, a dream. It's not clear, but God is saying, follow that leading. Don't walk by sight. You've been walking by sight too long, by your feelings too long. My God, Peter thinks that this could be over. Peter thinks that this could be a vision. Peter's saying that this can't be an angel, a true angel from God. He wist not, the Bible says. He wasn't sure. It's the same word that's used of Samson in Judges chapter 15 and 16. When the Bible tells us when Samson was laying in Delilah's lap sleeping, the Philistines finally came upon him. And the Bible says, and he wist not that the Spirit of God had departed. He didn't know the difference. The Spirit had departed. He went to try to fight like he did before, but he had no power. He didn't have the understanding. He wist not. He wist not. How many people wist not? They're sleeping. They wist not. They think it's a dream. They wist not because they're sleeping. Some of you in Delilah's lap. Some of you on the pillow that the enemy's given you. Some of you in the pillow of indifference. Some of you in the pillow of uncertainty and ambiguity. But you're sleeping. You're sleeping. And you wist not. But God wants to shake you up. He wants to speak to you. Oh, my friends, it took a while, but Peter woke up because he followed the angel. If you can just follow the angel, the leading. Stop trusting in your own strength. It reminds me of another great verse. See, all this thing I'm sharing with you, all these insights, you see, what's great about these insights, it's not my opinion. It's not what Pastor Dino is saying. It's what the Bible clearly says. And I see this in the life of Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3, we see an incredible portion of scripture of this great prophet that was born from a mother who interceded, fasted, and prayed. And God had called him, but he wasn't sure what God was calling him to do. He wasn't. And in chapter 3, we can begin, George, at verse number 3. I want you to notice, because I got to share this before we conclude. And there, listen, and the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Well, now Samuel's sleeping. He's sleeping. Peter's sleeping. That the Lord called Samuel. Lord, hey, Samuel, you're called, okay? You're called of God. And he answered, here I am, Lord. I'm here. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, Eli. Haven't you called me? And he said, I have not called you. Go back to bed. You're sleeping. You've lost your mind. And he went to lay back to bed. He's dreaming. Hey, you're dreaming. Samuel, go back to bed. You're dreaming. And he ran to Eli. And the Lord called yet again. The angel shook Peter. The Lord now is shaking Samuel differently, but shaking him nonetheless. And Samuel arose and went to Eli. There's a stirring. I've got to follow this stirring, Eli. An angel has led me back to you. I don't know, but here I am. For didn't you call me? I thought I heard you again. It just was even louder this time. And he answered, have you lost your mind? I called you not, my son. Lie down. Go back to bed. The devil tells you, go back to bed. You're not hearing from God. It's your imagination. You've lost your mind. How many great men of God heard that from board members, from sophisticated believers, from all kinds of people? You're dreaming, go back to bed. John Wesley heard that. John Knox heard that. William Seymour heard that. Evan Roberts heard that. All these great men have heard people tell them, go back to bed. Maybe you've heard it too. But it wasn't. And so notice, God's call comes to Samuel. And now Samuel did not yet know. Samuel did not yet know the Lord? Excuse-moi, pardon? Je comprends pas. I don't understand. I don't know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. Revelation is, what's the word? You got it. Progressive. My God. You don't just all get it in one shot. And what was the revelation? Next verse. And the Lord called Samuel again third time, and he rose up and went to Eli. Here I am. You still don't get it. For did you call me? And Eli, finally, this priest, finally, he got it. He's also sleeping. You got two people sleeping in different beds, but they're sleeping. Eli perceived, okay, that the Lord called the child. And we find out in the next verse, I don't know if that he was called to preach and to teach and to give a word, to be a priest to Israel. The call of God was upon him. He didn't see it, didn't understand it, didn't perceive it. How many times has God called you to do something, but you don't see it right away? And you turn to Eli to help you, but Eli can't help you either because he's sleeping. Until finally, somebody sees it. Oh my God, I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I'm speaking to somebody. That's why one of my favorite verses, and you probably hear, you know what? It's funny. If you've heard me preach even five times, if that, maybe three times, you will hear me quoting this scripture. Me not using this scripture on a regular basis over and over again, 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. This is the key scripture to our Christian walk, because in our walk with God, friends, there will be things that will tell you to take another road, to go over here, to stop doing this, run back, all kinds of impediments, all kinds of pillows, all kinds of situations where the enemy wants you to stop going forward. And you'll need faith to keep you moving. You'll need that angel, and you got to follow that angel. You got to follow the leading of the Spirit, even if it doesn't make sense, even if you don't understand it, but you got to follow, walk by faith and not by sight. I'm going to trust you, Lord, when I can't trace you. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to trust that you will give me revelation, that I will finally see it. I'm praying, Lord, I may not see it now, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to follow that angel. Said, Lord, as I'm following the angel, will you come and call me to see what I need to see, Lord? As I go back to Eli, maybe you can show me something. Maybe you can see. I can see something I didn't see before. And he follows the angel. Oh, my friends, it's time for you to follow. It's time for you to follow, even though you don't know. Oh, some of you are about to make a decision. You're not sure. Follow the angel. Trust the Lord. Some of you are about to do something. You're not sure. Follow the angel. I wanted to play hockey all my life. And when I had the opportunity to finally make it, not once, but three different times, that even my wife and I thought, this must be God. Something stirred. No. The devil gave me something to bite on. Sometimes the devil, like he did with Jesus in Matthew 4, will tell you, if I give you the treasures of this earth, the rich. I'll give it to you if you just bow down and worship me. Sometimes the devil will stop you from your destiny or try to stop you by giving you something, that will tempt you. And he'll tempt you in the area that you're weak in or the area of things that you might like. Otherwise, it wouldn't be temptation. And you got a choice to bow down to them or to bow down to the Lord. My God, which angel are you following? Something stirred and said, no, that's not from God. I don't know where I'm going. I don't have anything really open yet, but I know that's not from God. I heard a voice saying, stop it. That's not the direction. God will give you a voice. God will show you something. If you're praying, sincerely seeking, God will show you. It may not make sense. It may be something you wanted all your life, but God is saying, no! That's not it. Follow the angel. Walk by faith and not by sight. Trust in the Lord. Commit yourself to Him, and He will direct your path. Wow. And some of you are not fully awake yet, but you're walking by faith. You don't have all the answers, but a door has opened. And I'm going through it, Lord. In this case, this door, I believe you've opened. You've got to keep going while you are uncertain, Jeremiah. Go to the potter's house, and when you get there, I will speak to you, Jeremiah 18. Because you wake up in stages. You wake up in stages. Verse number 10. And this is a, and well, I got to close, but just to hold on. Peter is waking up, and they pass by the first gate. Then they pass by the second ward or gate. And then they come to the iron gate. And I had to pause there. And I had to think, wait a minute, the iron gate? Iron is very significant. Who wrote the book of Acts? And I thought about this. Luke. Luke was who? He was a doctor. Luke was given into details. If my wife wrote the book of Acts, it'd be the same thing. Details. Yeah. Make sure it's an iron gate. I wouldn't have written iron gate. I just put gate. I'm not giving into details like some people. Luke's a doctor. Iron gate has significance. Iron is pretty tough, Peter. You can't get through that gate just by, you know, giving a little shove. You're stuck in that gate. There's no way you're getting out, Peter. That's what Luke is implying when he said iron gate, the iron gate. And the angel, watch this now, watch out. And as they approach the iron gate, this gate that is impenetrable, it just opened up, the Bible says. What? It just opened. You mean I have to punch it down and kick it down? That's what some of you are doing. You come to the iron gate and you think you got to fight it on your own strength. You got to kick it down, smash it down, pull their, you know, gossip, yell, fight. You know, some of you are trying to bring your husbands to Christ, but you're beating them on the head with your Bible. It's not working. The gate isn't opening. You're trying to do something in your own strength. You're using the energy of the flesh to open up the iron gate, but it's still closed because you're operating in the flesh. The flesh. But this gate just opened up, this iron, impenetrable, strong gate. And the angel who was capable of killing all the soldiers, and the angel who had no obstacles to deal with, really just walked past these guards and passed through the gate, and the angel vanishes. My assignment is over, and Peter finally wakes up. Wow, this is from God. What? Life lesson. So many. I told you, I knew insights. This, a lot of insights. How many times has God caused you to walk past something that should have killed you? How many times has God opened up a gate that you tried to open up, but it couldn't until it just opened up? How many times have you faced the Red Sea with Egyptians breathing down your neck? thought that was it. But God split open the Red Sea out of nowhere. But God opened. They just walked by it. I don't know how many times in my life, I'm telling you honestly, I could have died. I know it. I should have died. I've got no time to even tell you how many times, but somehow I just walked by. Somehow unscathed, unblemished. I'm reminded of the three Hebrew boys in the furnace that were thrown in to be burnt alive. Seven times hotter was the furnace. So hot that even the guards got burnt. So hot they were unscathed, untouched. There was no smell of burning. Nothing. God made a way. He made a way. Passed right by. They escaped. No harm, no foul. Just split open that sea while other people drowned. I survived. And so Peter passed these three gates. The last one was iron, the toughest, the strongest. My God. I have a word for somebody. That gate that you face seems unshakable, I know. That gate that you face right now looks like it's unmovable. It's iron. You can't penetrate. You can't even melt it down. By the time you get to it, yeah, you see it in front of you. By the time you get to it, it's just gonna open up. It's not gonna open up by your own strength. And you're gonna be able to quote Psalm 109 as David did. And God's gonna get all the glory. God's gonna receive all the praise. That's why He's allowed you to go through. He wants you to see His glory so you won't get the credit. God won't share His glory with anyone. Who did this? God opened up the gate. Nobody can open up these gates. And we'll do what David said. Oh, that they might know. Psalm 109, that it is God and He alone hath done it. Oh, that they might know that it is God and that He alone hath done it. There are some times in your life, many times, that God would allow you to be in prison or allow you to be chained or allow you to be in a predicament that is so unbelievable, so unbearable, so that when you get to the iron gate and it seems hopeless and impenetrable, God will just open it up so that you'll be able to say a testimony and give a testimony. Oh my goodness, it is by God and He alone hath done it, and He will get the praise and He will get the glory because He has done it. He has done it. You see, God will just open up the gates. Yes, my friends, my home is in shambles. But God, my business has collapsed. But God, my children, my marriage on the rock. But God, this sickness has overwhelmed me, overpowered me. But God, the iron gate, the chains have bound me. They've enveloped me. But God, yeah, my relationships, but God, it just opened up. My God, by the time I get to this gate, by the time I get to this iron gate, it's just going to open. Something's about to open, and I'm going to truly wake up. I'm going to see that this is God. God's going to open my eyes. I'm going to see it, that there's no way I could have done it on my own. There's no way she could have been healed if by a doctor or by some human effort. I'm going to wake up to the truth of it, that God isn't finished with me yet, that He's a miracle working God. That's what Isaiah says in chapter 43, I believe it's the second verse, that God is the way maker. He gets the praise, He gets the glory. Oh my friends, listen, for some of you there's a door that is about to open. That's right, it's a door, it's about to open in your life. That's right, it's an iron gate. You thought that door would never open. Can I go the opposite? Yeah, it's an iron gate, but you thought it could never open, but God is going to open it for you. You thought that dream was impossible, but God's going to make a way. You thought revival will never come, but God will make a way. Yes, a door is about to open, and you will know that it is God, and you will know that it is God. So please don't tell me about your circumstances. I've heard enough of them. Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand. My problem, you know, it's not like other people's problems. Oh, really? So you're the only person that has these type of problems. That's exactly what the devil wants you to believe. He wants to get you into a woe is me self-pity party, that nobody has it worse than me. That's a wonderful place. It's a party that nobody likes to go to except you and the enemy. So please, stop deceiving yourself. It's time to rise. Don't tell me how strong the gate is. God is able to open it. Stop focusing on the iron. Stop walking by sight. Yes, a door is about to open. And I don't know who I'm speaking to, but a door is about to open. I got to close. So watch this now. I got to go. Watch this. So they went out. They just went out. Here's Peter between two soldiers with chains about to die. And he just walks out. As if nothing's happened. No bruises. No blemishes. No cuts. Just walks out. Can you give me Isaiah 43, 15, 16, George? Isaiah 43, 15. And so we've been loving the book of Isaiah. Oh, what a book. 43, 15. Isaiah has a word for the people of Israel. And as George is trying to, there it is. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. I'm your King, hallelujah. Thus saith the Lord, here's the word, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty water. This was the verse that we get the song, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, night in my darkness. I feel like singing it. Are you joining me together? Okay, I'll be quiet. But that's where you get this word from. He's the way maker. He's the miracle worker. And despite the soldiers that were assigned to Peter, deliverance came. He woke up. Woke up, not at once. So don't be too discouraged if you don't see it right now. Keep following the angel. God will maneuver. Will maneuver you past all the soldiers. Stay with me. Yeah. All who have been assigned against you. All the pillows that were thrown at you to go to bed. God will maneuver. Yeah. Telling you to keep quiet. Stay asleep. Yes, you're just going to keep trusting God. You're going to wake up. I don't care what's... God's going to give you that. He will vindicate you, my friend. So hold on! It's not over yet. I know the gate is tough. Hold on. He's going to get you through it. Because his name is powerful and my chains will fall off. He's going to get me through it. You're seeking for answers. Keep praying. Keep your ears open. Keep your heart open. You sense a leading and a stirring. Follow it. God will lead you. Even if it doesn't make sense, you see a door opening. Follow it. If God is going to close it, he will close it. He will speak to you. Don't let your decisions be based on how you feel or what you don't see or see. Just follow the angel. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Let the Lord lead you. Let the Lord guide you. He's not concerned about how tough it is outside. God will make a way. Stop fussing over it. Stop complaining over it. Stop murmuring over it. God will get you up. Time to wake up. Time to rise. Stop sleeping, thinking it's over. Oh, dry bones, rise up. God wants to breathe on you. He wants to call you. Get up. Time is short. God wants to do something in your life. It is not over. It's time to rise. I'm going to invite the praise team to come forward. We're going to sing that chorus, Jesus, he's the way maker, he's the miracle worker. Then we want to also sing, if we get a chance, he breaks my chains. My chains fell off. And we want to sing that. And I want to challenge and I want to pray for somebody out there who hears but is not sure. I want to pray for somebody out there who doesn't see. clearly. God wants to do something powerful in your life. He wants to direct your paths. Can we sing that chorus? All right. Now, I don't know who I'm speaking to. I know I'm speaking to a lot of people out there this morning. I know that. State of confusion. God wants to lead you. But you got to determine to get up. Take your finger off that snooze button. You got to believe it's not over, friends. God isn't finished with you yet. You have destiny. You have purpose in your life. Please stop sleeping. Get your fight back. Let God put it in your heart. Put that joy back. God has something special, but you got to follow the angel. He will do it. He'll make a way. Let's go.
Yes, I'll worship you. You are
know some of you have been in chains, an iron chain, an iron gate. You've tried to get out of it. You've tried to find a way to break those chains on your own strength. But I have a word. I really sense that God's going to just open that gate right now. I believe something in the spirit realm is going to break right now. He's brought you through the two gates. This is the third one. And I don't know, man. And you've been faithful. You've been following the leading. And you've come to this crossroads right now. The time has come. And when Peter passed by the iron gate into freedom and victory, he realized that this was God. Deliverance. Deliverance. And you're going to know by the end of this day that it is God that has done this great miracle in your life. And we're going to sing this chord, and I want to pray for you. I want to pray for these chains. You have been falling, but for others, you've been asleep. And God wants you to rise and wake up to the urgency of the hour in which we live in today. So I want to pray for two specific things as we finish this song. Because Jesus will break those chains. That's what he is. He's a miracle worker, but he's a chain breaker. He's a chain breaker.
Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
pray for those that are shackled in chains right now. There are two angels, demonic beings that are beside you, and you are in chains. You are asleep. Your fight's gone. The burden's gone. The passion's gone. You lost your fire. The bones have dried up, and you're in a boneyard. I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, Father, those chains that are shackled around the hands of two or three, four or five or six, whoever's viewing those chains. They've been sleeping too long, Lord. They think it's over. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that you, by your power, would break those chains like we see the angel gave a word to Peter and the chain simply fell off. Nobody had a key. Nobody went and opened up the chain. They fell off. I give it, speak it forth, a word of the Lord that the chains will fall off from your wrists in Jesus' name. Time to rise and follow the angel out into freedom in the name of Jesus Christ. Grant it, Lord, right now I pray. Set them free from the chains of depression, doubt, suicide, lust. Break those chains. I pray, Lord, for those that are viewing who have an open door, but they're scared. They're scared to follow the angel. They're scared. They think it's just a dream. They're imagining. It can't be. They're in disbelief. Lord, cause faith to rise up. Let them follow the angel. Let them walk by faith. Cause doubt to disappear. Cause, Lord, them to make their approach unto you according to your word. Let them see what they do not see in Jesus' name. That this is not a dream. This is of God. Friends, what God is about, I want you to know, I'm just thinking this prophetic mode. I don't know. I just want you to know that what God is doing right now in your life is not a dream. God is doing something. Follow the angel. That's for somebody out there. Follow the leading. It is not a dream. It is God. You think it's a dream, but it's not. You think it's your imagination, but it's not. Just follow, and God will give you more clarity as you obey, like he gave Naaman. When Naaman obeyed the Lord 7 times, he went down in the Jordan. It was on the 7th time that he was healed. He doubted God 6 times, and the 7th time, God is going to show you something. My God, I don't know, something. God's going to show you something. Follow the angel. Follow the angel. Jesus. Follow the angel. For some of you, your hearing has become dull over the years. Because you've been sleeping. And so, like Samuel, he wasn't sure what he was hearing. Is it Eli? Is it Moses? Is it Peter? Is it John? Is it? Wasn't sure. You're not sure what you're hearing. And the enemy's telling you, go back to bed. Go back to bed. Don't worry about it. It's not going to happen. Just go back to bed. But you heard another voice. And you woke up and you're still not sure. You go back to Eli. You're going back to Paul. You're going back to that place of security. You're going to your mom. You're talking. You go back to your pastor or to your friend. You want to find some place of security. You got to know. But that person's telling you to go to bed. You're not getting answers. God's trying to teach you. Stop depending on the familiar. Stop depending on the familiar. I'm taking you to the unfamiliar. Go back to bed. And finally, God's going to speak and you're going to know. He's going to reveal to you, the word will come and there'll be clarity. Revelation is progressive. You're in the second stage. The third stage is about to come. You'll know. Don't give up. You will know. God is teaching you to trust Him. Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. We thank You, Lord, this word is so deep, so many avenues of life lessons, avenues of nuggets of truth that speak to us today in this day in which we live in. Help us, Lord, to follow the angel. Help us to trust You, Lord. Because we've gone through a prison of sorts through this pandemic and other pandemics that have kept us chained. But Lord, we have trusted in our own imaginations and our own thoughts, and we have not heard Your voice. Help us to hear what the angel of the Lord is saying. Help us to hear Your voice, to rise. Help us, Lord, to get through these gates. Help us not be focused on the iron gate to keep us embalmed back to the past. Help us to get through it as You open up the gate, I pray in Jesus' name. Let us walk through it, I pray. That they will know that this is God and by Your hand that He alone has done it. This is my prayer, Lord. That they will know that You alone have done it. In Jesus' name. Whew, I know God is speaking. We love you. We really do. Want to see you real soon, brothers and sisters. Don't give up. He isn't finished yet.